Is Jesus God? John the Baptist says yes. This is the seventh in an ongoing series on the subject, is Jesus God? It's arguably the most important subject, not only in the Bible, but in the world. Now, we've looked at what different New Testament eyewitnesses said about Jesus, what Matthew, Peter and Paul have said. We've looked at some of what Jesus did, looking at his power to delay death, reverse death, and finally to personally conquer death and rise bodily from the grave after the Romans publicly executed him by crucifixion. The Christian Bible consists of both Old Testaments and New Testament. By page count, the Old Testament is about three times bigger than the New Testament. The Old Testament is full of prophecy, and it speaks clearly about the forthcoming birth, life, ministry, death and resurrection of God's servant, the Messiah, who is also a descendant of King David. He's called in the Old Testament various names: the Anointed One, the Branch, the Messenger of the Lord, the Suffering Servant. Now, the Greek word Christ means the same thing as the Hebrew word Messiah, and I shall be using them both interchangeably. And today I have 3 points. Is Jesus God? The Baptist says yes. 3 points. The first point is the key to understanding the Old Testament. The second point is John the Baptist, who is the last Old Testament prophet. And the third are 6 statements of John the Baptist, that Jesus is God. Please have open the passage in John chapter 1 that we've read. Now, in a previous sermon, I looked at 5 keys that allowed us to understand the Old Testament. And my first point is some keys to understand the Old Testament, but we're just going to recap the first 2. Key number 1 is that we can clearly see that the Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah exactly fit the facts about the life and person of Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter's son. That's the first key. The prophecies of the Messiah fit the facts about the life of Jesus Christ. The second key to understanding the Old Testament is that the promised Messiah is God in human flesh, who provides forgiveness for his people. Would these Old Testament prophets have recognized Jesus as the Messiah, the Christ? Would these Old Testament prophets recognize the fully human Jesus as also being the fully God walking amongst men? Though most Old Testament prophets lived between 400 and 1400 years before Jesus, there was one, just one, who saw Jesus in the flesh, and his name is John the Baptist. Would this last Old Testament prophet, John the Baptist, recognize Jesus as the Messiah when he stared him in the face? That is one of the questions we'll answer today. Now, I'm very much indebted to F.F. Bruce and J.C. Ryle for many of the insights I've got here about John. John the Baptist was born about 5 BC, and he was beheaded, put to death, about 31-32 AD. So he was about 36 when he died. John was the son of the priest Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth. And in the Gospel of Luke, it tells us that Elizabeth was a relative of Jesus' mother, Mary. Zechariah and Elizabeth were both past normal childbearing age, and John was only born after the angel Gabriel appeared to Zechariah in the temple. The angel Gabriel gave Zechariah instructions about John, that he was not to drink wine or fermented drink, that he would be in the spirit and power of Elijah, and that he would bring back many Israelites to the Lord. Consequently, his parents kept him apart. And it's recorded in Luke 1:80 that the child John grew and became strong in spirit. And he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to the people of Israel. Now, both John's parents were Levites. They were of the priestly tribe descended from Aaron. So they would have taught John well from the Jewish scriptures, what we call today the Old Testament. John's very successful ministry started, as recorded in Luke 3:1, in the 15th year of the Roman Emperor Tiberius, which, depending how you count it, was either late AD 28 or early AD 29. John's ministry is hugely significant to Christianity. Each of the four evangelists described John's ministry as being the precursor to Jesus' own ministry. John started preaching in the wilderness at Bethabara beyond the Jordan. That's the very busy crossing point of the Jordan, north of the Dead Sea, where all the commercial traffic between Judea and Perea passed. Loads of people going that way. John cut an amazing figure. He had camel hair clothes, a leather belt. He ate locusts and wild honey. His ministry was extremely high profile and very popular. There'd been nobody like John in Israel for 400 years, not since the prophet Malachi. Thousands went out from Jerusalem and the whole of Judea to hear him preach. Matthew, Mark and Luke record that years later, a few days before the crucifixion, Jesus questioned the chief priests and scribes and elders in Jerusalem about John, and they would not publicly deny that John was a prophet because all the people believed he was. Now, John the Baptist did no miracles. Rather, he was a powerful preacher. John preached about the imminent arrival of the Christ, the Messiah, this long-awaited King of Israel, spoken of frequently in the Old Testament. He preached about sin. He preached about repentance and a changed life. John preached about the Holy Spirit, because it is only the work of the Holy Spirit that produces the changed life that God requires. John preached that the coming Messiah, the Lord God, would judge everyone. So they should confess their sins and repent. They should seek forgiveness while they still had the opportunity through the work of the coming Messiah. Those that won't repent, John said, would suffer wrath to come, an unquenchable fire. God's holiness demands punishment for sin. Whilst there is safety for believers in the Messiah, there is disaster for all others. Many of the Jews believed John's message of faith in the Messiah, so John baptized them as an outward sign of their inward change of heart that would prove itself in a changed life. John knew that he was the forerunner of the Messiah, but he did not know who that individual was. John was subject to the general blindness of all men and women to their Creator. As it says in John's Gospel, verse 10, which we read, Jesus was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. And John's statement in verse 31, I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. So it was at the baptism of Jesus that John recognized Jesus as being the promised Messiah. Verse 32, John the Baptist bore witness saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testify that this is the Son of God. The next day, it says in verse 29, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." When he pointed Jesus out to Andrew and John, they started following Jesus, eventually becoming apostles of Jesus and eyewitnesses to Jesus' resurrection from the dead. The Holy Spirit revealed to John the Baptist that Jesus, the carpenter's son from Nazareth, is God's great servant, the Messiah, the Christ, who has come to the world to take away the sins of the world. Has the Holy Spirit revealed this amazing truth to you also? John also spoke about the public affairs of his day, and he did it in such a clear and uncompromising way that it landed him in prison, which led to his execution by Herod Antipas, the Tetrarch, after John had rebuked Herod for divorcing his wife Phasaelus and then unlawfully marrying Herodias, the recently divorced wife of his brother Herod Philip. So that's the life, a potted life of the last Old Testament prophet, John the Baptist. So my third point is, let's look at six statements of John the Baptist that Jesus is God. The first statement is this: John says that he is the voice in the wilderness preparing the way of the Lord. All four Gospels quote from Isaiah chapter 40, which we read first. The four Gospels identify John the Baptist as the one whose voice is crying in the wilderness. Indeed, both Zechariah, John's own father, and John the Baptist himself also said that he was the one crying in the desert, preparing the way for the Lord. So we read in verse 22, "Then they," that's the priests and the Levites from Jerusalem, "said to him," John the Baptist, "Who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" He, John the Baptist, said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord," as the prophet Isaiah said. Now it's clear from a reading of Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, that Isaiah is talking about one who prepares the way for the Lord God. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." So John the Baptist believes that he is the one spoken of by Isaiah 700 years beforehand that is preparing the way of the Lord, that he, by his preaching, is making straight a highway for our God. Yet John identifies the one he is making way for as Jesus of Nazareth. Verse 29, "The next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me.'" This means that John the Baptist believes the immortal God he is making way for is in fact the fully human Jesus of Nazareth. John the Baptist is stating that Jesus of Nazareth is in fact God. That's our first statement of John, that Jesus is God. Our second statement of John, that Jesus is God. In verse 15, John says, "John bore witness of him and cried out, 'This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, because he was before me.'" Now this is a clear statement by John that Jesus is God. John the Baptist was born about 6 months before Jesus of Nazareth. As recorded in Luke chapter 1 verses 35 and 6, the angel Gabriel said to Mary, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, that's John's mother, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, that's John the Baptist, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. So John is born 6 months before Jesus. So Jesus is younger than John himself. So how can John say in verse 15, he who comes after me is preferred before me because he was before me? Well, the answer is simple but stunning. Jesus, born 6 months after John was born, actually existed before John ever existed. Jesus, in the person of the co-equal Son of God, existed before any of us in the human race existed, and has in fact existed from eternity past. Jesus is a pre-existent being. He is God in the flesh. And by saying, he who comes after me is preferred before me because he was before me, John the Baptist is clearly saying that Jesus is the eternal God. That's our second statement, that Jesus is God by John the Baptist. John goes on to say that Jesus will judge all mankind. Now it's recorded in Matthew 3 verse 11 that John says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. The one coming after John, the Messiah, has his winnowing fork in his hand to separate the grain from the chaff. The Messiah will make a moral judgment over everyone. Now, how could he possess sufficient knowledge to judge everyone unless he is God? In fact, who has the right to judge the whole world? Indeed, who has the authority to summon all the living to judgment? Only God. How would Jesus, just think about it, be able to process all these people unless he is God? Even if it's just the Jewish nation that we're talking about, there was well over 1 million of them, and a significant fraction came to hear John the Baptist. Only God can judge such a large group. Jesus is God. Jesus will judge all mankind. You know, there's a present element to this judgment. Some, due to repentance in this life, will be baptized with the Holy Spirit in this life, and there is consequently a future eternal element to this judgment. The weak, the repentant, those baptized with the Holy Spirit will be gathered into the barn of the Messiah. So that's security in the life hereafter. The chaff, all those who are not baptized in this life by Christ with the Holy Spirit, have a dreadful eternity set before them, being burned up in unquenchable fire. When faced with this great truth of the coming certain judgment, thousands realized their own lives did not live up to the demands of God upon us. Fearful for the certain coming judgment, they repented. They were baptized with water as an outward sign of the inward change of their heart, and they look forward to the saving ministry of Christ the Messiah. Let's be certain, there is a coming judgment of all mankind, and Christ is the judge. The carpenter of Nazareth will judge you and me. What is your view of this coming judgment? Doesn't it make you shudder, knowing that you fall short of God's requirement? Do you and I, do we seek sanctuary in the life and work of Jesus Christ, that Jesus judges all mankind, is John's third statement that Jesus truly is God. Now the fourth statement of Jesus, of John, that Jesus is God, is in verses 29 and 36. John says, twice John points out Jesus as he's walking by, describing him as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Now, a lamb speaks of sacrifice, of the shedding of blood and death. A lamb speaks of substitution. The lamb dies, its life paying for the sinner, so that the sinner goes free, being declared legally innocent. The Old Testament lamb sacrificed had to be without spot or stain. The Lamb of a holy God must be perfect, must be sinless. To take away the sin of the world implies that Jesus has no sin of his own that needs to be taken away first. And a sinless man can only be God. This Lamb removes sin. He takes it away from us. Amazingly, he places it upon himself and then makes atonement for it. Who can move one sin from one individual to another? We find it impossible to deal with our own sins and their consequences. In fact, we can't take the smallest of our sins and deal with it. Sins are against the most holy God. So who but God can deal with sin? That Jesus takes away sin proves that he must be God. The Lamb of God, John says, who takes away the sin of the world. The scope of Jesus' mission is worldwide. That's an amazing statement. This man standing before John and his disciples in the Judean wilderness will affect a worldwide change. The removal of sins of the whole world. Now, no mere mortal can enumerate the sins of the world. Who could make a list of all the sins that happened in even 1 minute in Liverpool? Sins of thought, sins of the heart, sins of omission, sins of commission, sins in private and sins in public, sins open and sins hidden. Sins hidden that won't come to light until after we're gone. To deal with the sin of the world, Jesus must be God in human flesh. Aren't we, you and I, aren't we both guilty of all these sins ourselves? We need Jesus to deal not just with the sins of the world, but to deal with the penalty of our own personal sins. And to deal with the sins of the world, Jesus must be God in human flesh. Jesus is not a lamb of man, he is the Lamb of God, and he bears the guilt of sin away, so bringing freedom and redemption and renewing the relationship with God. The whole Old Testament sacrificial system is about restoring our relationship with God by a blood sacrifice. And the Lamb of God is God's solution to the problem of our guilt and to the necessary punishment sin demands. That John recognizes that Jesus would be a sacrificial lamb provided by God to take away the sins of the whole world is astonishing. And it's a clear statement that Jesus is no mere man. He is truly and fully God. He is able to bear the sins of his people, to bear them away and to make satisfaction for them. He is able to do this for all who trust in him, even up to the sum total of all mankind. By proclaiming Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, John the Baptist is saying that Jesus is God. Knowing all this amazing truth about Jesus makes John the Baptist the greatest of those born of woman, as Jesus says in Matthew 11:11. Our fifth statement that Jesus of John, that Jesus is God, is that Jesus the Messiah baptizes with the Holy Spirit. In Matthew 3:11, John says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Now the Holy Spirit is God. Who but God can baptize with God? In John 3:6, Jesus states that flesh is born of flesh, the Spirit is born of the Spirit. Now, men cannot see the Holy Spirit, nor can they predict where the Holy Spirit goes next. So how could a mere man baptize with the Holy Spirit that is outside his control? John can only baptize the external man with the most commonly available substance we have, water. We're 70% water ourselves, and 70% of the earth's surface is covered with water. John the Baptist, a mere man, can only baptize repentant people with water. Jesus of Nazareth, however, can baptize the hearts of repentant people with the Holy Spirit. And it's only by being born of the Spirit that we can enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus' ability to baptize with the Holy Spirit is proof that he is God. John's sixth statement that Jesus is God, verse 34. John the Baptist, pointing out Jesus of Nazareth, says to his disciples and to all those gathered by the Jordan, "And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." The Son of God is no less than God, but is in fact fully equal to God. John the Baptist and all the Jews of that day knew that saying someone was the Son of God was in fact a clear and direct statement that they were equally God. All of John's hearers would have understood this immediately. For instance, when Jesus healed the man who was crippled for 38 years at the pool of Bethsaida on a Sabbath in Jerusalem, which infuriated some Jews, the Apostle John records in his Gospel in chapter 5, verse 18, "Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him," that is to kill Jesus, "because he had not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." John the Baptist's declaration in verse 34 that Jesus was the Son of God is a clear statement that Jesus is God, and it was understood by all John's contemporaries as such. So in conclusion, we've had six statements from John the Baptist that Jesus is God. What the Apostle John records here in John's Gospel about John the Baptist is highly important and very significant. The Apostle John was initially a disciple of John the Baptist until the Baptist pointed out Jesus as being the one that was coming after himself, and that John and Andrew should now follow Jesus. What the Apostle records about the Baptist is first-hand eyewitness testimony. We must take it very seriously. John the Baptist, the last of the Old Testament prophets, saw Jesus and recognized him both as the Christ and as God. He beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And not only that, he saw that Jesus was the Lamb of God and that Jesus would personally bear away the sins of the world. John's life was totally changed by John, that's John the Apostle's life was totally changed by the testimony of the Baptist. Is ours, is yours, is mine. Do we, you and me, do we see Jesus as the one who carry away our sins? Do we see that Jesus is the one who's going to pay that great penalty for us? Or will we only see Jesus later when he comes to finally judge us for our sinful lives? The message of John the Baptist is the message of Christianity today, that God comes in person to this world for his people and provides salvation. As we are, our lives just will not do. They don't please God. In fact, we don't even live up to our own standards. Never mind God's. Jesus, the Lamb of God, takes away the sins of the world. We must repent and put our trust in him. Our repentance must be real. It must be true and be proved by a radically changed life. And we need God's Holy Spirit to make this change in us. Call upon Jesus now. Judgment is coming to the whole of mankind, including you and including me. And only those whose lives are changed will survive. All the others will be lost, burned up by unquenchable fire. Is Jesus God? The last of the Old Testament prophets saw him face to face. And John the Baptist, that Old Testament prophet, says yes. Let us believe in and obey Jesus like John did. Amen.